great Kahan Yeshua Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I know no one brought this book with them, but this is what I'm going to be covering today. The Parenting Manual. Now, if you look down here on the bottom, it's called a hands-on approach. It's like the kingdom of Yahweh. It's a hands-on approach. Remember, you put your hand to the plow, you do the work. It's the same thing with being a parent. It's a job. It's a position. It's being given to us by Yahweh, and it's something you have to put your hand to, and it's not easy. It's very difficult. But you have to put your hand to it, and you can't look away from it. It is the parent's responsibility. As parents, as those set in authority to watch over and protect the children of Yahweh, it's our responsibility to make sure that everything that these children see, hear, and the way they conduct themselves is in accordance and complete unity with the house of Yahweh. And that everything, every aspect of the peaceful solution is completely followed within their lives. Praise Yahweh. Now, the title of this sermon, I thought it was very fitting since Pastor came up with it. Your children, your choice. Right? In the parenting manual on page 1, I want to cover this part right here starting off. On page 1, halfway through the first paragraph, we see, remember that a positive parent is responsible for the safety, health, and well-being, and the education of her infant. A parent, we're responsible for those things. In Merriam-Webster's, it says that a parent is one that begets or brings forth offspring. Was that it? You have a child, boom, you're done? I'm a parent now? No. It is just like every position in Yahweh's house, it is a forever position. Praise Yahweh. Now, the second part of this definition, it says, is a person who brings up and cares for another. Who brings up? You know, whether it's a young child or an older person that's just coming in the house of Yahweh, it's our responsibility to help bring up the young ones in Yahweh's house, to educate them, to set forth an example of how to properly conduct ourselves in the house of Yahweh. You can't bring in someone new into Yahweh's house. The same way with a young child. Do all kinds of things that you know should not be done in front of them and expect for them to understand how to conduct themselves properly. When people hear other people speaking against Yahweh's anointed, speaking against the priests, speaking against the Kohanas, they're not hearing Yahweh's message being brought forth. What they're hearing is someone tearing down Yahweh's house before their eyes. And we will be held accountable for those things in the day of sentencing if we don't start to get it out of our lives. Now, a positive, responsible parent. Now, Pastor said here that safety. I don't have the sermon date for you, but I know it was on the radio this week because it clicked in my mind and went perfect with the sermon. But Pastor said safety. Protection. He said, protecting your family is a form of holiness. That's accounted to us as righteousness, protecting our family. Now, does that mean you're standing over your children with shotguns, making sure nobody comes near them? No. Get the ways of the world out. Protecting our family is first and foremost being the example that they need to see, just as Yahshua Messiah was. What you want your children to become, what we want everyone who's coming into Yahweh's house to become, we have to set the example for them. We all have to be like-minded in unity with Yahweh. But the word safety, from Merriam-Webster's, it means the condition of being safe from undergoing or causing hurt, injury, or loss. Now, we know the consequences that come through making poor decisions. We have to safeguard against these things, practicing the peaceful solution. Everything we've used, everything we've learned is putting those things to use within our life, protecting ourselves and protecting our children. But it's also, the second definition for that is a device used on a weapon or as a machine designed to prevent a hazardous operation. Like when you're operating a machine, there's safety set on those machines to protect you. All right? There's something that Yahweh gave us in life to protect us, a safeguard. And here it is. That's what Yahweh gave us to help us protect our children. to be holy, to teach them to become holy, to be examples to them. Everything we need is right here within those scriptures. There's 613 safety guidelines that shows us how to protect, how to put on that form of holiness. Health. Health was the second thing that a positive parent puts within their child or provides for their child. Health, clean foods. Making sure the foods we bring in is clean and acceptable. You know, not guarding against these things, we have to realize what it does to the body. It's not, I ate something unclean, I need to go confess it. No, this starts to break down the body. It starts to destroy our body, and it brings forth sickness, disease, death. We have to safeguard against these things. Cleanliness. You know, making sure. You know, we all understand the clean laws, the unclean laws. You know, if we're not sure how to contain uncleanness, we need to be getting with our counselors. We need to be getting with those who can instruct us how to properly do these things within our families to keep these things from spreading. Well-being. Well, the world's definition of well-being is to be joyful and satisfied. All right, well-being in Yahweh's house is to make sure that your child is joyful and satisfied within the work of Yahweh. That's how we teach our children. You want to know how a child is joyful and satisfied within the work of Yahweh? When the parents are joyful and satisfied. When the parents are thankful. When the parents are sitting there building Yahweh's house instead of tearing it down in front of their children. That brings joy to a child. That satisfies a child's ears. It is impossible for the house of Yahweh to lead us to sin. Impossible. If we think the house of Yahweh needs to change for us, we need to realize we have to change for Yahweh. There's no way around it. If we feel there's a division, there's a separation between us and being full, useful members of this body, then we have to make the change in our lives. We have to adjust our lives so we become a profitable servant in Yahweh's house, doing the work. The next part I want to cover in the book is page 11. Page 11. Parents are responsible for raising another person from the state of total helplessness. Remember when we first came into Yahweh's house? How many of us knew how to keep the Sabbath? We thought we did. We didn't. We were helpless. Without the one sent to us to teach us and educate us, we were completely helpless. We're just like that infant laying there waiting for someone to feed us. To teach us, to instruct us, to show that true love to us. And that's what a parent has to do for their child. Parents are responsible for raising another person from the state of total helplessness and dependency to a mature adult with positive character who is respectful, responsible, and compassionate towards others. These are things we should be instilling within our children. Children learn these traits from their parents. Yes, the children come to the house of Yahweh. They come, they sit before the priest and they learn. But the character education that Yahweh instills in us, that he teaches us that we must have, must be within our own homes. Our homes have to be where we teach and support and back up everything brought forth from Yahweh's house. Never speaking against it. Never tearing it down. Negative influences can destroy a person's way of thinking and being. Our children are not exempt. They too can fall prey to negative influences. So it is no exaggeration when we say parenting is a tough job. It's a tough job. But if you're willing to take time out of your life to make the child, you better be willing to take time out of your life to be a parent to the child, to teach the child, to govern and make sure that everything brought before your child's life is acceptable before Yahweh, that it's holy and righteous. Praise Yahweh. Now, some of the negative influences. Here are some negative influences I want to cover. These are some things that we sometimes bring into our lives. All forms of entertainment, television, internet, movies. As parents, if we still have this foolishness, violent movies or any type of movies or something that just pulls our minds completely off, or grandparents, or uncles, or cousins, or whatever. If a parent sets a rule where their child's not allowed to watch television, it is completely evil for you to put that in front of that child and to allow that child to be a participant of it. Parents are responsible for guarding their children, and if they set rules for a child to be protected and guarded, each and every one of us, it's our responsibility to make sure that that child is protected. It is a form of holiness if we do so. Friends who promote immoral behavior, that is also a negative, one of the main negative influences in this world. But it can also be in Yahweh's house. You know, I got to speak with some of the young men last Sabbath, and I was telling them, I'm 36 in Yahweh's house. I came here when I was 17. I lived in Abilene. Right when I turned 18, we moved here. I couldn't count on 10 hands how many teenagers were here at that time. There were a lot. Where are they now? There's two of us left. Two people who set their minds to do the work of Yahweh first. The rest, video games, entertainment, hanging out with their buddies. And that pulled them out of Yahweh's house. Remember the first definition that I covered of safety? It's to protect against a loss. Parents, if we want our children to remain in the house of Yahweh, if we want them to become priests and priestesses in Yahweh's kingdom, then we have to be the example teaching them and guiding them. We have to ensure that, yes, what they're seeing for me is a complete unity with Yahweh's house. Because we can't build up Yahweh's house and then tear it down in front of our children with our words. Because those words, they go deep. They go deep within the hearts of those. And if you're having problems, remember what our pastor said. Find you a closet, get inside of it, and take your words before Yahweh. Don't spit it off in front of your children. Bring these things before Yahweh. Bring it before the priest. Bring it before your counselors. That's what we're here for. Don't bring it before the children. They're expecting to learn righteousness about Yahweh's house, about Yahweh's people. Not the evil. Not the opinions that we have against this part or that part. They have to learn righteousness from us as a parent. Even if you don't have children, you're assigned to help with the children. All right, you're assigned on the front gate helping somebody come in through the gate. The first impression they're going to have of the house of Yahweh is how you conduct yourself. And if I pull up to the front gate or I pull up anywhere to the press room, if I'm the first time coming here and all I hear is the person I'm supposed to be learning Yahweh's conduct from, is how great the movie was they seen on Friday night. I'm not learning Yahweh's way. True love is laying down our lives, getting rid of that old foolishness, and putting on Yahweh's mercy, putting on the truth of Yahweh. Another negative influence, family, cousins, grandparents, aunts, uncles, all those, these things that provide these sorts of entertainment, these things, those who don't participate in Yahweh's work. All right, a true friend is going to be somebody who does the work of Yahweh with you. They're not going to be somebody who tries to pull your mind off onto having fun or going out in town, riding around. All right, that's not a friend, that's a damn fool. And if the blind follow the blind, you're both going to fall into the ditch. You want to find a best friend? Get involved in the work. That's where you're going to find your true friends. Because those friends will be there forever. Guaranteed. They will be there forever. The next part I want to cover is page 25. Page 25. What does it mean to really parent a child? To effectively parent and raise a child, one must be able to successfully take on the role of a teacher, provider, and disciplinarian. All right, a teacher. It means to educate. All right, you're educating. You're teaching. But not just by words, but by example. Remember, everything our children do, they mimic. Right? The things we do, the way we conduct ourselves, the children, they mimic those things. And we have to be on guard. We have to make sure that in everything we do with teaching, it's every action we make also. I know sometimes it's hard when you have these things still within your life to be a parent towards a child at all times. Because in order to be that child's parent, they have to be with you. You have to be in teaching them, educating them. You know, a father who has a son, you know, if you have the ability to take your son with you to do something, take him with you. Like Pastor said last week, there should be a friendship there. A father should be a friend with his son, the same way we are with Yahweh. He's our friend. There should be a friendship built there, something that you can work towards to. Realize, that's not going to be a child forever. Your son's going to be a priest standing beside you, helping you teach the universe. And don't take advantage of the blessings that Yahweh's house gives to us. You know, we have it set up to where mothers who don't have husbands or children that don't have fathers, we have men assigned here to help assist with that. So that a child is always welcomed in Yahweh's house and is always protected. That form of holiness is here in Yahweh's sanctuary. But fathers, if you just don't want to get up out of bed and bring your children to the sanctuary, that's not the reason that's there. Make sure we're being fathers at all times. Set the example. If we want our children to be here during services, we want our children to be here serving Yahweh's house, then let's get our butts up out of bed and get here and do the same thing. Set the example before them. If I want my child to be a priest, then I expect myself to conduct myself as a priest. If I want my child to be foolish and a God worshiper, then set that example. But it's not going to be in Yahweh's house. And we won't be in Yahweh's kingdom if we don't guard against these things. We have to guard, we have to prove now. We have an entire universe to teach. If we can't guard right now the little responsibilities we have, we're not going to do it thousands, millions, billions of years from now. We have to prove it now. Now is the time that we are sitting in judgment and Yahweh's looking. How much effort are they putting forth? How much effort is being put forth into this person to make sure they overcome? If we're afraid that we can't set the right example in front of our child, that's why we don't want to keep them with us, or that's why we don't want them with us, but we want to stay away from our children as much as possible because we know we're an unrighteous example, then we need to change. Because as I started off, a parent is the first teacher. Yes, Yahweh's house teaches, brings forth Yahweh's laws, but a parent is responsible for making sure the things being brought forth from Yahweh's house is backed completely, 100%, at home, behind those closed doors when the true characters are coming out. There shouldn't be a difference, right? This isn't church. You don't come to Sunday and put on your church face. If you're going to live it on Sabbath, live it the rest of the week. Live it at all times. This is a life. This isn't a religion, okay? This is a way of life that we have to live. And none of us are perfect. That's why I'm bringing this out. We're not perfect as parents. We're not perfect in any aspect of our life yet, but we're putting forth the effort to be that. And we have to do it together. Husbands, wives, families, put on holiness and put the foolishness out of our lives. A provider is someone who takes the precautionary measures to make preparation, to prepare for the priesthood. All right, you provide your child with every opportunity to be a part of Yahweh's house, to be a part of any part of Yahweh's work it wants to be. Never use a punishment to a child. Well, you're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to go pull that duty. You're not allowed to go do this. You can't go to class today. You know, there's consequences that has to be given to children that have a constant rebellion in them. But don't ever use Yahweh's work as a punishment. Right? That's a reward they have. That's a reward Yahweh wants a child to have. I mean, how would we feel if we come in here and, sorry, we don't want you doing this anymore. We took your job and gave it to somebody else. That hurts, right? That would hurt tremendously when you know you're working for a position in Yahweh's house. Right? Remember our children. Use the work of Yahweh as a reward. Use being in Yahweh's house as a reward. Going to class should be a reward for a child. Being a participant in everything Yahweh's house has to offer a child should be a reward for them. It should be something they're seeking for. Don't reward them with a stupid, foolish video game or a new phone. Those things have no value in Yahweh's house. They have no value at all in Yahweh's kingdom. The things of this world will fade away. Yahweh's house will remain forever. Praise Yahweh. All right, the last part of this on how to effectively raise a child is to be a disciplinarian. To discipline a child. All right, now that doesn't mean to rule over a child, okay, like Pastor brought out, to stand over with your thumb on somebody and forcing them to do what they must do. No, disciplining in Yahweh's house is positively training your child. Positively training my child. If I want my child to do something, then I should expect that I myself am doing the things that my child should be doing. I shouldn't rely on the fact that they should know how to conduct themselves. Well, they should know not to do that. No, I should set the example before them. I should ensure that this is how you conduct yourself. You know, if you ever had a little child look at you and say, and ask you a question, and you answer it, not realizing it was a trick question. All right, children are they like to ask trick questions. But sometimes they catch you. I remember a child asked me one time, I don't remember what it was now, but he asked me about, should we be doing that? I was like, no, we shouldn't be doing that. He's like, I didn't think so, because that's what Pastor brought out. But I seen you doing that. Oh! From the mouth of babes, we're being instructed in these things. Okay? If it's brought forth by Yahweh's house, it's to benefit us in life. It's to help bring forth that perfect character, to make us into Yahweh's image that we're searching for, that we've been longing for, that we want to become. Make sure we're portraying those things in front of our children. On page 26, we have to be careful of what we say in front of children. We have to be careful of our own ideas. Because children don't know anything unless you tell them. Well, children won't learn something evil unless it's taught to them. But here on 26, on the very bottom of this page, it says, the variations in our skin color and nationalities only become important to our children if they are important to us and those in our immediate environment. Search yourselves to see if any prejudices or stereotypes about others exist within your own ideologies, then root them out. Pastors brought up many times, there's no such thing as racism in Yahweh's house. There's no need to mention these things in Yahweh's house. Yahweh's looking for a perfect character in each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter what country we're born in. He's bringing forth people who represent his kingdom. We have to be careful. If we have these things from our former lives, or if we still have the ideas of races and superiority or anything like this, we need to get this out. Right? This says to root it out, but I'll tell you, you need to repent. We have to repent and get these things out of our lives. This should not be a part of our lives at all, and our children will not know these things. They won't know racism unless it's taught to them. If we have these things, you need to get with your counselors. Root them out. Get them out of our lives. Protect the children of Yahweh. And protect, I'm not just speaking of the young little children. Each and every individual in Yahweh's house is Yahweh's child. Keep that junk to yourself and speak with your counselors on it. On page 30, it's the role of a disciplinarian. It says, the one most damaging errors that we can make in parenting is to assume that a child will learn how to acquire a positive character without being taught. We assume they should know that. They should know not to be doing that. Have we taught them? If we haven't, they don't know it. Character traits such as self-control, honesty, responsibility, compassion, forgiveness, and respect must be instilled within their hearts and minds. By interacting positively with your child from birth, you can teach these and many other positive qualities to your child. Interacting positively, hands-on, being a parent, taking the responsibility, taking the time. It can't be, I'm too tired. Oh, I'm too busy with work. Right? You can't do one and leave the other undone. If you're a parent, that's a position given to you. If you're involved in the work, that's a position given to you. Sometimes that work can last all the way up until the children are way past bed. I know that. But as a parent, it's our responsibility to make sure that time is being gotten in with our children. Don't put it off. Don't make it the only time our children learn anything positive is on the Sabbath. The rest of the week, it's about work. As a parent, yeah, we're responsible for providing for our families. But the law says we almost must provide the law. When we speak with our children, these things should be on our tongues. When we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk on the road together. Yeah, you have to be together with your children. It's a great blessing. And when you're with them, make sure these things are on our lips. Everything. You don't have to sit there and say, do not do this, do not do that. But through your actions, through our speech, our children will learn that's the right and proper way to conduct myself. By the way, my dad or my mom is conducting themselves, because that's the way that pastors taught them to do it. Because it's in complete unity. Let's turn over to page 43. On page 43, it's never too early or too late to start. Whether you have a child who is an infant, 6 years old, or 16 years old, one of the most effective ways to start teaching self-control is by first role modeling appropriate behavior and then implementing rules and guidelines in regards to the proper conduct. Model appropriate behavior. Then make sure there's rules established in order for your children to follow. It is up to you to know what behaviors you want from your child, to verbalize the rules that govern those specific behaviors, and to consistently guide, discipline, and instruct your child through repetition. You know, the greatest example I see of that in these last days is the great witness. Yahweh's last days witness, Israel Hawkins. Repetitive. Repetition. Until we get it, we have to keep repeating it. Until our children get it. You know, how many times does pastor get up here and bring forth the same thing? Didn't he bring that last week? Well, did he bring that 40 years ago? We're still not getting it. We're still allowing these things in our lives. We all are being trained to be representatives of Yahweh's kingdom. One's being sent. One's being sent out to do a job. Yahweh has to know that when he sends us to another planet to educate someone by using the peaceful solution, to bring forth Yahweh's laws to them, to show them how to stop the pain and suffering that they're going through. That we're not going to show them, oh, by the way, did you see the newest video on YouTube? What's it got to do with anything? Nothing to do with righteousness. If we focus more on the righteous, we have no time for the foolish. On page 82, this is the last part I want to cover of this book. Page 82. Being consistent. A lack of consistency on your part says to your child that you are not serious about helping him change his behavior. You better stop doing that, or I'm going to come up and I'm going to take a belt to your butt. 5 minutes later, you better stop doing that. 3 weeks later, you better stop doing that. Right? Threats don't work with children. Be consistent with correcting. First of all, teach a child. We shouldn't be doing that. Now, when they decide to do it again, instruct them. Prove to them, show them where they made their mistake. Let them understand what consequences can come from that. It could be a belt across the bottom. It could be well deserved. It could be certain things, certain restrictions put on. But we have to make sure we're consistent with it. Yahweh is very consistent with making sure that His laws and His judgments stand fast. Remember, Yahweh says He's allowing these judgments to come to pass? Well, as a parent, if we decide that this is something that's going to be going on in my house, if this is a rule in my house, and I expect my child to conduct themselves in a certain way, I have to be consistent in making sure that everything is being done according to that rule. Because if not, what's going to occur when I'm not there? What's going to occur when my children go off to somebody else? Your children get hooked up with somebody that doesn't have the moral behavior that you desire for all your child's friends to have. My parent wasn't consistent with instructing me in this. They weren't consistent in making sure that I understood the consequences of my actions. So let me touch that fire. Let me touch that burner and see if it actually burns. We don't want our children to experience these things. Young children, Yahweh is allowing the world to go through this now. He's allowing us to see the full extent of sin. He's allowing us to see right before our very eyes what sin has brought. From the very first time that Eve was deceived, she partook of sin. Yes, Yahweh says you will surely die. You don't have to experience what sin brings forth in your own life. We can get these things out. We can make sure that our children, our grandchildren, and every generation after us will always have this example set before them as the only example and the last example of what sin brought. And they will always see before their very eyes of what true peace, true love, true unity among Yahweh's people brings forth for the rest of eternity. That's what we're looking for. If we can keep our children from having to experience the consequences themselves, then as parents, let's do it. We don't want to see our children walking out of Yahweh's house into the world. We want to guard our children from these things. If we want our children to remain in Yahweh's house, if we want those who just come in the front gate, somebody that knew their first feast, if we want to set an example for them that they need to remain in Yahweh's house and they need to be faithful to Yahweh's house, then we need to make sure that every action we do, every word we speak, is building up Yahweh's house, is building up Yahweh's servants from the greatest to the least. We're one body, and we're not going to make it without each other. Put on true love of Yahweh, and don't forget it in times of trouble. It's our children, it's our choice. Let's follow the example given to us by those last days of Noni Winnie Shizra Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. It's the perfect example of a father being consistent, instructing his children until they finally get it. We're getting it. Continue to get it. Praise Yahweh. At this time, I'll turn it over to the great Khan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We have several news stories today. I was looking at the news and I noticed that they fired that nuclear general, the one in charge of the nuclear weapons. And I thought they weren't going to fire him, the one with the chips, with the fake poker chips, but it turns out it was another one. And so I was trying to figure out who this guy was and why there was two, and then I found out there was another one back in August, and then there was another one back in June. So we have two stories that are showing four high-level nuclear commanders that have been fired or suspended just in the last 4 months. So this is an indication of a problem, and it's also something you would expect if they're intending on using these nuclear weapons, because they want to make sure that the people underneath are going to do what they want them to do. And it's also a story that's difficult to follow because all these guys look alike and it looks like it's the same one they're talking about, but it's not. They're actually restructuring the entire nuclear command and control center. And then we have a story about Lord Gilbert in the UK, and he's a defense minister and he was under Tony Blair. He's not a defense minister anymore, but he was under Tony Blair, and he proposes to drop a neutron bomb on the Pakistan-Afghani border in order to make it an unpleasant place to go. And the significant part of this story is the news people wondering how someone with this kind of a brain could have the powers that he had because he was so high up in government. And this is exactly what the pastor has been teaching us, that these people that are high-ranking members of the governments of all these countries do think this way. They are insane. And it actually shows him proposing this. He's serious about it. He says it'll make it an unpleasant place to go, and there's only some sheep and their sheep herders there, so what harm would it do? And then we have Monsanto. There's protests in 400 cities around the world today, and they're protesting Frankenfood. And the interesting part about this story, too, is it fits in with what Pastor said about Psalm 94:20 last week about them contriving evil by law. And this is their, Monsanto, more than anything, is a bunch of lawyers. And they're actually able to do this with the genetically modified food because of these bogus patent laws that they're using. And there's a bunch of people that are seeing the evil in this and the damage that it causes, and so they're protesting today. So let's play the news. Everyone please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! We got a lot of records. Praise Yahweh! All right, let's go. Come on. You may be seated. Isn't that news great that they're actually showing what Catholic Church is bringing forth today? Of course, this started years ago with their fathers. I think it was 1901 when Monsanto was actually legally started. Same year, the American Medical Association was started, 1901. they were linked to the, both of these companies are linked to the big oil producing organizations, corporations, and of course they needed, they were needing an outlet for the waste they were bringing forth from the oil wells. So they opened companies to take care of this and of course treat the people, and you make them sick and then you treat them. This will increase their, this is the schools of higher learning, teaching you to make money. there won't be any money in this, but we got phonics lessons that have started, and hopefully next week we'll be announcing the teachers for this and the classes you can get into free. The poor have the messages taught to them too. this is the house of Yahweh. House of prayer for all people. Praise Yahweh. We're also reaching the world quite substantially. This article just came out in the newspapers. Israel Hawkins publishes new article with explosive details on the Pope, nuclear war, and Bible prophecy. It just came out last night, but it's already reached almost 6,000 people. 6,000 news agencies have published this. This is TV and online. Some of the major companies, I'm told, was WSFX TV online, WFSX TV in another location, PR Web online, five of those, Northern Colorado, five online. KTXD, that doesn't mean much, but it's just some of the major, these are major TV stations around the, in the United States and other places. In fact, this is going global now. The article with John Kerry pushing to restart the 7-year peace plan, Israel Hawkins publishes a new article detailing how it relates to prophecy. That's already picked up, been run by 26,876 news medias. The one on Israel Hawkins writes a new publication showing Pope's statements do not stand up to Scripture, That has been run by 60,000. 60,000 news media. 60,000. I would have been surprised with 1,000, but man, 60,000 newspapers running this. I think that is beautiful. The Pope, I've entitled this today's sermon, In Hopes of Helping the Pope. And I'd like to speak directly to him because I can see the man is nervous. In fact, the news media says he's nervous. Every time he gives a speech, I'm going to be watching it. And I'm the witness. I'm also the prophet spoken of that's got to prophesy in the last days in chapter 7 of Revelations. I mean, chapter 10. I'm the seventh and last messenger of Yahweh, and of course, we're going worldwide. And in this article, he made the statement, now you've got to pay attention to this because the gospel is the gospel, he said. And so I'm going to hold him to those words and correct him on his vocabulary. But the articles, I don't you may have seen those. These are several. Pope in Assisi calls on church to shun vanity. That's a great statement, and I'll explain what he means and what the prophets meant, and of course the apostles too, when they use these words. The second article that came out about this, Pope Francis says church must rid itself of worldliness. The whole church, he's talking about the Catholic Church. Now, it sounds like they're going to repent. And they probably would if he'd use that word, but he avoids the word repent. He avoids the word righteousness. In this article, he says the Pope will attend a feast of Saint Francis at Assisi. Now, of course, this is worship of the dead. This is a feast day that is in celebration of a dead man. A dead man. He's nothing more than a dead man. Now he's nothing more but than dust, because he's turned back to dust. He knows nothing, the scripture said. The dead, the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, the scripture says. And the gospel is the gospel, right? That's what he said. So now wake up to some other things that you didn't see, that you didn't write. I'm willingly pointing them out to you. He says, praying at the tomb of this dead saint on this dead saint's day. He's widely loved. He's widely worshiped in Italy. If you, Francis, Pope Francis, if you'll go over to Isaiah 65, and that's where we left off last week, this will interrupt us a little, but not much. We'll get back to that subject that we started here during the feast. But in Isaiah 65 and verse 4, see, this is what the prophet Isaiah, whose name you changed, your forefathers changed it, but you have not tried to do anything to correct it, even though you admit this was done. But the great prophet Isaiah was condemning your forefathers for doing this very thing and saying, you know, you're throwing away your salvation. You're going the wrong track. You're going to bring trouble upon yourselves and upon the whole land of Israel. And you're going to be scattered for doing this. You're going to, wars are going to take place. The whole thing is going to be moved out of proportion and gone all over the world with this wickedness. And he starts in verse 1 by saying, I am sought by those who did not ask for me. I am found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation. This is, of course, the 12 tribes, the same ones that Jeremiah warned in Jeremiah 23, whose name you change. You change Jeremiah's name to Jeremiah, Mr. Pope. He said, to a nation that was not called by my name, I have spread out my hands all day to a rebellious people. That's the Catholic Church. You're rebelling against all the laws, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh. A rebellious people. Verse 4, who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials to the dead. That it couldn't be any plainer than that. And here you are going to a grave and worshiping the dead. And you're one of the top leaders of the largest religious organizations on earth. You're the leaders of the kings of the earth at this time. They're all practicing your example, except the Muslims, whom you hate for it and want to destroy them. The Muslims you drug into these wars because they thought they had to defend themselves, so they took up arms and started trying to defend themselves. Of course, the wealth made those who have the nuclear bombs, it made them rich enough to do what they wanted to do with them and develop in developing them, which is takes a lot of money. But notice Francis, he says, who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials to the dead, who eat swine's flesh. You brag in your letters, I notice, about eating swine's flesh. This is part of your confusion, because what is in swine's flesh actually affects your mind. And this is one of the problems you're having. Your mind is affected, and so you're lusting after things that your mind would never crave, your taste buds would never crave, if you hadn't eat that swine's flesh. You could get off of it, you could repent and get off of the swine's flesh, that would start helping you some. When you're asking the world to get rid of worldliness, why don't you ask them to repent of eating swine's flesh? It's against Yahweh's laws, which is sin, and it's also worldliness. The whole world is seeking after your example here. Verse 4, again, who spend nights keeping memorials to the dead, worshiping the dead as you're doing now, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable. Get that word, Francis, because you will see it in several other scriptures that describes the Catholic Church today. Abominable, it comes from the word abomination. Things unclean in their vessels. That's what you're carrying now, in the vessels of your body, the blood vessels, and it's getting to your brain, and your brain is suffering from it. Look at verse 7. Verse 5. Who say, stand by yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. The reason you separated yourself wasn't because you're holy. We know that the Catholic Church is plagued with all kinds of sexual abuse, abominations, wickedness, evil of all kinds, murder, rape, everything. It's because you wanted to keep your secrets hidden. That's the reason you had to move from Jerusalem to Babylon and Rome, so you could separate yourselves and you could live the life you wanted to in the Vatican, inside the Vatican, behind closed doors, the perfect way of life, right? And now you're wanting to reject it. That's great. That's one great thing that I see coming from you. It may not be all lost. Look down to verse 7. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together. Now get this, because you say when you remove the name Yahweh from the Holy Scriptures and you remove the name Yahshua from the Holy Scriptures. You say you did this because our forefathers did this. Your forefathers, the seed of Abraham, we know who you are. You're of the 12 tribes. You wear the tallit and the kippah to disguise your sins, to make people think you're holy. But of course you're condemned for that too. You're wearing them to deceive, and that's illegal. But we know that you are Abraham's seed. We know that the Savior even said that. He tells us you're Abraham's seed. And when you move your religious organizations from Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and took the artifacts to Rome, we know that. And you did it to separate yourselves so you could do what you wanted to do without detection, because there were always people in Jerusalem that was swarming the temple. They knew what was going on, and they were saying, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. It's not right for you to be a sodomite. It's not right for you to rape babies. These things were all being exposed to you, and that's the reason you separated yourselves and moved to a location where you could have your armies guard you and keep people away from your private life that you have indulged in now for years as the world goes down. And Monsanto is one of your projects, we know that, and it wasn't meant to feed the world. It was meant to feed the world death, but it wasn't meant for the world to survive on, and you know this. And now there's many people rising up against you at this time, Francis. You're going down. You're falling. Your kingdom is falling. We know that it's fell by about 38% already. We know that you're worried. I can see that. You're begging for people to strip themselves of funds and give it to the Catholic Church. That is no secret, because other people are writing about you and these things you're saying. Also, even Christian people are writing against you. And they know your schemes. They can see through some of these schemes that you're pulling. But your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers, the prophets were condemning your forefathers for removing the name Yahweh and Yahshua. They were condemning them for eating these swine's flesh and saying, you're filling your body with confusion. That's what you're suffering today, is confusion. That's the reason you can't make a sensible decision out there. And what you're doing now, getting ready to destroy the earth, you know, you're being led by Satan herself, as she did with Cain, as she did with Cain and also Eve and Adam. But says the iniquities, that's doing away with the laws of Yahweh. Iniquity, that's what it means, doing away with the laws. Iniquity is not a sin, but if you commit this act, it is sin. Removing the law, ignoring the law, doing away with the law, which you are the fourth beast, and you know this, and you know that the spokesman for the four beasts, the spokesman, the last spokesman for it, is the Catholic Church. And of course, the army has stood on your part and has carried out all of these wishes that you wanted in doing away with the laws. Well, what have you brought the world to in doing away with the laws? Now you're saying the church has got to strip itself of everything that you've been working for now for 6,000 years almost. Your iniquities and those of your fathers, says Yahweh, who have burned incense upon the high places, the mountains, and blaspheme my name upon the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former works into their bosom. Yes, your former works is followed now by your present works, and the sin is at its peak. You need to repent, is what Yahweh says you need to do. Well, to read on in your letter here, the remarks of your writers that wrote this in bragging on you. Of course, they're confused too, and they say things in here that would actually bring you down. let me write for you. I'll tell you what to do, what you should have said. Speaking in the hall where the medieval saint is said to have taken off his robe in a gesture of humility, the Pope said the church should also divest itself and return to spiritual basics. Spiritual basics. Well, I know what the scripture means. I know what the what you call the gospel. That gospel, I know, and you know too, it's a new word that you created to bring to make the people think that the, that this was a God spell that you were going that they were going to cast upon you, and that's exactly what it means. But it wasn't even used by the prophets. They wouldn't have got near it. It's only put in the New Testament, as you call it, the book 2 or the book of Yahweh. It's not in the old one at all. You invented it so you could use it to make out like this is a Holy Ghost that's going to enter you and give you the God spell. You should have let the Holy Spirit of Yahweh enter you and give you Yahweh's message to the way of salvation. Well, this basics, I want you to turn over with me or write this down, Francis. I know I'm going too fast for you, but write it down and look at John. You got a King James Version. The name is John. His actual name was Yochanan. But look at Yochanan 6. Yochanan 6 and verse 63. And remember what you said about the spiritual basics. Back to spiritual basics. Well, here is the spiritual basics given to you by the Savior himself, Yahshua Messiah. Not Jesus. Jesus was a God, and you know that. He's a dead God. All those gods that you were worshiping and going to their grave and praying, they can't hear you. They know nothing. So you're like it's praying to a brick wall that you got built over a body that is even turned back to dust. It can't think. It knows nothing. It's back to the dust it came from. Well, here in 663, he said, the spirit that gives life. It is the spirit that gives life. Spirit. Now, this is the spirit you're talking about. You just got it going wrong and where you get the spirit. So pay close attention to what I'm going to explain to you, what the Savior explains to you. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The law that I speak to you, they are the spirit and they are life everlasting. Now, you want to get back to spiritual basics? You'd have to go back to the laws that was taught in the beginning to do this. The laws that Yahweh gave in Genesis. Gave to Adam and Eve, gave to Abel, and Abel is still teaching them. Even though he's dead, his works is still alive and teaching today, if you would just pay attention to them. Now read it again. Make sure you understand this. It is the spirit that gives life. Well, what is the spirit? He says the flesh is useless. You can't get anything out of the flesh. It's useless. But the spirit gives the flesh, actually gives the spirit life. How does it do it? The spirit is the laws that Yahshua Messiah is teaching you. The laws that I speak to you, that's the laws of Yahweh. 613 laws, but also 10 commandments that you're ignoring. They are spirit. They are the spirit I'm talking about. They're the spirit that you mentioned, but you got it all in your mind, all wrong in your mind. You're thinking it's a ghost that cast a God spell upon you. So you called it God spell, gospel, God spell. See, you're going back to God worship again. They are life, the spirit, the laws that I give you. The Savior is speaking there, saying, the laws that I give you, Francis, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. He says here, your writer goes on to say, the church, all of us, should divest ourselves of worldliness. Divest ourselves of worldliness. For Yeshua's words on this, let's go back to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, because this is what you're speaking of here when you're speaking of worldliness, and of course the people know that you're wanting the rich people to divest themselves of their wealth and give it to the Catholic Church when you're saying this. But notice here now, your writer says, the church, all of us, you're including yourself, should divest ourselves of worldliness, a visible emotional pope said this, that worldliness, we've got to divest ourselves of it, because worldliness is a murderer. It actually commits murder, worldliness does, because it kills souls. So you're admitting here you don't have an eternal soul. Did you get that? You say it murders the souls. It murders souls. It murders people. It murders the church. That's what your writer says here. Well, in Matthew 10 and verse 28, the name you removed from the Holy Scriptures was Yahweh. It's him here that is being quoted. Yeshua says of Yahweh, verse 28, this is Matthew 10, verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. That's what your King James Version said. They're not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, that is Yahweh, whose name you removed, who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in Gehenna. That's your King James that I'm quoting from. Why does it murder? If you go over to First Yochanan, First Yochanan 3, you're right about it murdering. Worldliness murders. And I want you to understand why that it murders. And we're showed here by one of the apostles, and remember what you said, gospel is the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. We've got to do this because the gospel is the gospel. Well, pay attention to this message. That's what it should have been translated. And it was righteousness, a message of righteousness. That's what the messenger brought forth. That's what is being brought forth today by Yahweh's reestablished house. And I know you're well aware of this reestablished house because you've read letters that included me in your writing. In 1 Yochanan 3:12, notice this, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who murdered his brother. So you can see he's saying here that if you're following in the steps of Cain, who, that's what you're saying, that you got to divest yourself of, you said this yourself, you've got to divest yourself of this worldliness. And not be as Cain, that wicked one. Cain, that wicked one, and murdered his brother. Murdered his brother. Well, see, he's what you're talking about today. It murders people. Worldliness murders people. And why did he murder his brother? That's what I want you to understand now, Francis, is why Cain murdered Abel. Notice, because his works were evil and his brother Abel's works were righteous. What is righteous? Look back up, Francis, to 1 John 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now look at verse 7, Francis. Little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Look at verse 8. He who commits sin is of that evil one. That evil one who murders his brother. So the sins that you're committing is causing you to murder. Like you said, it causes murder. It murders people. It murders souls, yeah? There's no eternal life for the murderer or the one who does away with the law. Little children, verse 8, he who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. This is what she told Eve and Adam and caused them to sin and caused Cain to murder his brother. Yes, she was the leader of it. He was merely doing what he had been taught to do by Satan. You today are doing what you've been taught to do by your teacher Satan. Your teacher Satan did away with the laws. As Yahweh said in the beginning, chapter 3, he's doing away with the laws of Yahweh. Satan was. And saying, you won't die, go ahead and sin. He might destroy. Now, in verse 8, this is 1 John 3, verse 8, he who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy works of the devil. The works of the devil is setting in the Vatican, Francis. Yes, make them strip themselves of all worldliness, and we will get rid of the works of the devil out of the Vatican. From there, it's going forth to all the world. From the Vatican. Let's see, we're in, first Yochanan, murder. And you see why. He had done away with the laws of Yahweh, Satan had, so Cain killed Abel. He murdered him. Well, you're saying here, worldliness, you're admitting this in this letter. Worldliness is a murderer that kills souls, kills people, kills churches. And here is why. Because you've done away with the laws of Yahweh. Look now, go on further. Let me see, spiritual basis. Look further to Yochanan. Go back to Yochanan 6. Yochanan 6 again, and notice the Savior's words here on this very thing. Yochanan 6, and look back up to, we read 63 just a minute ago. Look back up to verse 58. Yochanan 6 and verse 58. Yeshua was pointing out the works of the forefathers here, and he said, just as the living Father has sent me, I live because the Father, so because of the Father. So he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread. Now, of course, this bread is not that wafer you're putting in people's mouths. It says the lard, and I suspect ashes of dead saints and what you call saints, dead bodies. It's also called cannibalism. We don't eat Yahshua's body, that is the meat from his body. That's in heaven right now, sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. But let me explain, if you will, what Yahshua was saying here. This is the bread. the bread sent down from heaven. The plan, this bread, it means plan. It's the plan of Yahweh that brought forth Yahshua. And when you take this into your mind and you swallow it through your tongue, teach it to others, and you take it into your body, yes, this is eating. I could give you several scriptures. I was told in Revelation 7 to take this book and eat it, which I did. And he said it would be bitter to me, and it'd be sweet, and so forth. But to take it and teach the nations with it. And that's what I'm doing. This is the bread which came out of Yahweh, that came down from Yahweh. And nothing, as Yochanan 1:1 says, it's the plan of Yahweh that was with him from the beginning that he has given. It's sent down from Yahweh to us. That's the plan of Yahweh, that he has allowed nothing to interfere with that plan. Praise Yahweh. This is the bread which came out of Yahweh, that came down, not like your fathers who ate manna, but died. He who eats of this bread will live forever. He who believes all that the prophets have spoken and practices righteousness, yes, they will never die. And then read 63 again. It is the flesh, it's the spirit. It is the spirit that gives life. This bread that came down from heaven, this flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are the spirit from Yahweh, the bread from Yahweh that gives you life. You eat this bread, you'll live forever. And they are life everlasting. This bread, this spirit, this message of the laws that I speak to you, they are life everlasting. But there are some of you who do not believe. Yes, you're one of them, Francis, and this is your biggest problem. You don't believe the scriptures. The hatred for Yahshua's teaching, you still carry that. If you look to Yochanan 7:7, you'll see what he's saying here. The world cannot hate you, speaking to his brothers here, his earthly brothers. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, just as the Catholic Church today. They hate Yahshua. Why? Because he teaches the laws of Yahweh. Let me show you that. That's what your church, that's what your forefathers did. That's what the prophets warned them of. They were doing away with Yahweh's laws. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because of the testimony I bring against it, that its works are evil. Yes, the whole Catholic Church, the whole form of Christianity is evil. All of you are breaking the laws of Yahweh, and that's what your Savior is telling you, and you hate me because I'm telling you the words of the Savior. The testimony. Turn on over a little bit further to chapter 15, and you'll see the Savior expound on this. Chapter 15, to your forefathers who also were Sodomites, and they did away with the laws of Yahweh. Yochanan 15, and notice verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, got that? Now here's the Savior speaking, doing the speaking here. If I had not come and spoken to them, he was preaching, he brought a message to them. Not a God spell, but a message, a righteous message. If I had not come and brought this righteous message to them, they would not have had their sins revealed. He was revealing your sins, Francis. Sin is the transgression of Yahweh's law. That's what caused Cain to kill Abel, to murder Abel. Yes, it's worldliness. Sin is worldliness. The whole world is deceived with your sinful teachings. But now they have no cloak for their sins, because he exposed them. And then he says, he who hates me also hates Yahweh. All of you out there in TV land that's hearing this and got a hatred stirred up for me now and would want to kill me, you're not of Yahweh. You're of Satan herself. Satan the devil. Well, remember his words now in chapter 7 and verse 7. Chapter 7 and verse 7. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because of the testimony I bring against it, that its works are evil. Now let's go over to Revelations 18, because Revelations 18 actually shows, you know, I've been preaching for quite some time, and that clock hasn't moved. So, somebody must have stopped it. Did you do it on purpose? It's now 10:40. That's when I walked up here. Maybe Yahweh did that. In Revelations 18 now, and remember the sins now. Sins. That's what killed Abel was the sins. Affecting Cain is what brought him to kill Abel. Well, here now, speaking of you, Francis, and I think you know this because, you know, there's not too many cities that sits on seven hills that rules the earth, that's leader of the kings of the earth at this time. And chapter 17 shows that this city, chapter 17 and verse 18 shows that this woman is a city that sits on the seven hill. It's a great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. And in verse 9, it shows that this city sits on seven hills. And in chapter 18, he continues his message, not a God spell, but a message to you, and showing you that you're going to burn. That's what he's showing you here in chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another messenger come down from heaven. This messenger didn't come down from heaven, but the plan of Yahweh came down from heaven, and it impregnated a woman, not literally, but it brought forth a man child, just like in the days of Yahshua. The same plan that came down and did this, coming straight from Yahweh. And this was worked out through many generations of many people. And came down from heaven, the plan did, and gives a man authority, gives him authority to enlighten the world, to bring light to the world. You know, your forefathers was the light of the world at one time. Well, here, if you read just the first six verses, first five verses, you'll see in verse 5, and her sins have reached unto heaven. And Yahweh has remembered her iniquities, that is, doing away with the laws of Yahweh. Doing away with the laws. So he's remembered this. And if you read on there, you will see that it's going to be burned. I want to go to another letter from another writer concerning your organization. It's the same, writing on the same time that you visited Assisi. And you said, Christians must strip themselves of worldliness. Well, you can see already that worldliness is sin. It's breaking the laws of Yahweh, and that's what's brought us to this point here. You've told the people they don't have to believe. You've told them they don't have to keep the laws. It's like giving a young man a car and saying, go drive this thing in the city. Don't pay any attention to the stop signs. Just drive it right wherever you want to, at any speed you want to. Now that is exactly what you've done to the world today. Well, your writer says here, when he was trying to brag on you, we need to strip the church, he said. That is, Francis said, we are in very grave danger. Yes, you are. You better pay attention to your writer's words here. If this is your words, you better pay heed to your own words, because you are in grave danger unless you repent. Now, of course, in Acts 3, we see the gospel, as you call it, and the gospel is the gospel. Remember, that's your words now. In chapter 3 of Acts, this message that came down from heaven, and the man that was speaking this was actually planned before the earth was. He was called for the purpose of giving you this information. I know I'm going over, but since the clock hadn't moved, I'm just going to keep going. Acts 3:19, he says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, if you don't repent, Francis, if you don't get your people to repent, you know, their sins won't be blotted out. They will die in their sins. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. But repent and be converted. Converted to what? Converted to keeping the laws of righteousness, the laws of Yahweh. Look back to verse 13. The fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our fathers, glorified his servant Yeshua, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to release him. Speaking of your forefathers, Francis, mine too, but I repented of the acts of my forefathers. However, you denied the Holy One and just, and demanded that a murderer should be released to you. Well, that's what you have. You demanded it. Well, here it is. You're talking about murdering. You're the one that chose it over the way of righteousness, over the way of the bread from heaven. Verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh raised from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Verse 17, and now, brothers, I know that you did this through ignorance, as did also your rulers. What he's saying here, he says he knows that you were pork eaters, that you were following the priests who ate swine's flesh. You're worshiping dead saints who cannot help you at all, who cannot teach you. This is what he was actually saying to these people. You did this in confusion. The word ignorance here, this is what it covers, the Hebrew word. It actually indicates you were following the priest who ate swine's flesh. That's what the ones who are in control of the temple at that time, they're the ones following the priest who ate swine's flesh. The same as you today. Therefore, you murdered the just one. And now, brothers, I know that you did this through ignorance, as did your rulers. You were all eating swine's flesh. You were participating in sodomy, fornication, adultery, and bestiality. Yochanan came before this man and warned you of it and said, it's not right. It's not right. He means it's not healthy. It won't bring you health. It won't bring you life. It will destroy your body. It's a sin against your own body. That's the message he brought, and you hated him for it, and you murdered him too. Verse 18, but those things which Yahweh foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that is his prophets, that Yeshua Messiah must suffer, he has fulfilled this. Yeshua Messiah fulfilled this. Not Jesus Christ. That's two gods that are both dead that you're still worshiping, and you chose, your leader, Constantine, chose those names of those two gods to replace. It's in your own records, the catechisms of the Catholic Church. If you want to strip yourself of worldliness, you need to strip what you have done. What is actually exposing you is your catechisms of the Catholic Church. Go back and look at these records, and you'll see what your forefathers have done if you're too ignorant to know this. Then you can repent, as he says, repent therefore and be converted. Stop this sinning. Stop following the priest that eats swine's flesh. That's what you've got the world doing now. More so in these last days than ever before. Because Francis, you have admitted that you and Benedict love eating pork. So the world is following the priest who eats swine's flesh, who is also admitting that they are confused. No one can eat swine's flesh without suffering the confusion that's inside swine's flesh, the microorganisms that go instantly to the brain. Even science proves this now, not just the scriptures. However, scripture is the best proof of all. But science can prove this too. There's records where they've actually proven that it slows the brain down, it confuses the brain. You can still work, you can do work for the Vatican, which you are, but I can tell from reading about what you're saying, you are more confused than the forefathers who killed Yeshua. Well, I brought this sermon to you in hopes of helping you. You can throw it out the window if you want to. Or you can repent and tell all your people to repent of breaking Yahweh's laws. Don't talk confusion to them. Use the words that the apostles used and the prophets used. Repent of sin. Repent and can be converted and you won't die. That's what Yekiska said too. Every soul that sinned, every soul is mine, Yahweh said. Chapter 18 of Yekiska, that's Ezekiel in your King James Version. Every soul is mine. The soul that sins, it will die. But if you will repent, you will live, Yahweh said. The Savior said the same thing. In the last words in the last chapter of your Bible, chapter 22, verse 12 through 14, Yeshua was speaking in chapter 12 and said, I'm coming now pretty soon, real quickly. And it is pretty quickly now to the nuclear wars. And he said, blessed are those who keep his, the Father's laws, that they may have right to the tree of life. You don't have right to the tree of life, Francis. You're the furthest thing from it. You really do need to strip yourself of worldliness. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.